Oh my goodness, 441. It's time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan, wine merchant, real estate agent, slayer of giants in Downtown Madness, joining us in studio. Hello.
Hey, it's obviously high time that we change my intro music to a certain song by Queen, and I don't mean Fat Bottom Girls. Although that would be funny too, and just as awkward.
Yeah, especially with you matching up against Jessica Gagne next round. That may come back to bite you.
Is that who I'm up against?
Yes.
Shoot.
She is also a machine. But,
I am. But she's got media savvy.
Let's look at the journey of one Eric Meehan, a boy with a dream.
Now's when we need that harmonic in the background.
He knocked off Bob Cutler, and let's face it, that probably felt better than any of the other victories.
It was inevitable.
That was a play-in.
Yeah.
You then entered the field of 64 as
What Robert 16. Needs to understand is that he's new.
Yeah.
He's a baby.
So you're a 16 seed. You're facing the number one, Bill Green. Clobbered him.
Oh.
All right.
Again, puppies.
We'll give him that. Then you move on to the next round. Now, up against Don Shields, the beloved voice of Maine women's basketball, coming off their best season in more than a decade.
That's correct. He's peaked.
Yeah, you beat him.
Too early.
You beat him. And so now, in the Maine bracket, it's Final Four time. I find it interesting that we've got two sportscasters and two food-oriented guests, you and Joe Riccio of Down East Magazine in the Final Four.
Now, who's Riccio got?
He's up against Bob Lucy, color analyst for Maine football. Oh.
It would be interesting if Riccio and I go against each other. That would be scary. He's got a whole Southern Maine contingent that I'm scared. Of course, I've got the Irish winemakers of the world.
And then, if we carry this out beyond that, we get to the Funky Four this weekend. The Maine bracket has to face the national bracket in the Funky Four. So you could be taking on Dan Epstein, who knocked off Ken Burns, Amy Dickinson, a nationally syndicated advice columnist.
That's right.
Gary Thorne.
Yes. Classic.
Katie Turr of NBC News.
I started watching hockey. You know,
I'm saying watch out for Katie Turr. If I had to bet, I think Katie Turr wins the national bracket now.
Dark horse.
Yeah. Well, she was a two seed.
Oh, well.
You never know. You never know. But on to more important things today. We continue our journey through different containers and different closures.
That's right.
And today it's a can of wine.
It's canned wine, yeah. So, we're sort of wrapping up this month of sort of figuring out how wine goes from those barrels and stainless steel tanks in the producer's wineries to your glass. And we've talked about, you know, how the origin of glass bottles and how that took kind of a long, long time to come into being. And then we talked about the various types of closures, right? Of course, the infamous screw cap, which as recently as the late 90s was sort of a punchline and now is a very real thing. And then alternative closures for folks who still, you know, the imitation corks and the Stelvins and all sorts of things like that. And last week we had a really nice, as you mentioned before, we had a really nice boxed wine. Those exist all over the world. Now people are starting to catch on to the fact that Americans want them too. So you're starting to see that. But today, and it actually is interestingly timed because just yesterday I picked up one of my industry journals. They're absolutely riveting, some very, very rarely. But this particular one had an article about the emergence of canned wine as a really viable sector. And so it's sort of fortuitous. You out there in Radioland are going to start seeing, I promise you, because I see all the sales reps pitching this stuff to me, a ton of canned wine coming into Maine and then just in everywhere. Why? Well, let's talk about that. So as we talked about last week, again, with the boxes, when you're using bottles and other forms of packaging, there's a lot of wasted space. There's a lot of wasted volume in terms of, you know, anybody who's ever opened up a box of 12 bottles of wine, there's a lot of air in there, right? So there's a lot of air, there's a lot of weight in terms of glass. The actual liquid is probably only, you know, 3/4 to maybe 2/3 of that box in terms of total volume. So people are trying to figure out more economically feasible ways of shipping wine. The other thing that's really important, and this is, of course, playing into what lovers of beer have seen in the past 5-10 years, is the reemergence of cans as a viable form of delivering beer and ciders and things like that to y'all. And that has really, the fact that there's an entire segment of the society out there that is saying, we like to drink good, in this case, beer or ciders, but good things, and we are okay with not having bottles of this. We're okay with having cans. And yes, there's still holdouts out there. You're going to have to get over that, folks. That has really helped, I think, the wine community sort of embrace that. And the emergence of a lot of these independent canning companies. So there's Ironheart is one that is up in this part of the world. But there's a lot of different companies that literally they go around with mobile canning units to these small breweries and now wineries that don't have canning facilities. Of course, a canning line costs you $70,000. They're doing this and it's really viable. Now, what started it? It's kind of interesting. Oh, I also kind of forgot to mention, again, going back to the beer thing, they're basically mini kegs, right? You think of them as there's no light entering. They're just totally filled up to the brim. So there's no oxygen in there. It's a very nice contained container that does not allow damage to happen to that product. And that's, of course, super important, right? Because UV light can damage wine, just like it can damage beer. Oxygen and it can age or prematurely age wine. You don't want that. So this is good. But what's going on? So what happened? It was actually the Coppola family that started this kind of phenomenon. And folks who have been regular customers of Bangor Wine and Cheese over the years have seen these little, they are 187 milliliter cans, rather, pink, of the Sofia wine. So Sofia Coppola, obviously a very famous director now and daughter of Francis Ford Coppola. And as many of you know, Francis Ford Coppola, his other passion besides making films is wine. And so he has obviously the Coppola estate. And so when Sofia got married, he created this lightly rosé, sparkling, lightly sweet. It's basically a Prosecco, because he's Italian. And so he not only put it in a bottle, but every guest, when they came to this wedding, had a 4-pack of these cans with straws, yes. and it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's refreshing. People thought it was charming. And those actually sold pretty well because they didn't look like beer cans. They didn't look like anything like that. They just kind of looked like these cute little packages. And, of course, the Coppola name kind of helped quell people's fears because no matter what you think of Coppola wines, they're pretty good products. They're not great, but they're pretty decent products. And some of his higher end stuff is actually quite good. But that was sort of the initial barrage. But what really, really broke open the floodgates, and you've, again, have seen this at my store, although you will not see it there, and I'll explain why in a minute, right now, is the Underwood wines. And we've tried these on air. I think last year we actually tried their Pinot Gris on air. They were the first ones that took a beer size. So a beer size would be 12 ounce, right? But this is basically 375 milliliters that you're trying to go for in terms of a half bottle size. They're the first people that did a 375 milliliter Pinot Noir, Pinot Gris, and Rosé in a can, and it made their sales explode. It was huge. They were already a very good winery, and we were already working with them. They had a very good price point. It was nice, Oregon grapes, good wine. But when they put these things in cans, they were just immediately huge to the point where we couldn't even get them. And they've gotten so big that they actually had to change distributors, which is why we don't have them right now, because Maine is a hot mess in terms of getting, wine from this wholesaler to that wholesaler and getting it all finalized and legalized and everything like that. But do keep your eyes open for the Underwood Cellars wines. Those are ones that really, really sparked this big thing. Now, coming soon to a wine shop near you, everything else. And we'll talk a little bit about the wine I have here today and a little bit about other things that you're going to look forward to. Now, the wine we're going to do today, again, this is a brand new product. It arrived at the store today. But again, this is a product that I have, a company that I've worked with in, bottle form, as it were, and love their product. So it was a no-brainer for me to say, okay, they're putting wine in a can. Let's try it out. This is Ti Amo.
To love, right?
Yeah. And they have a Chianti that you may have had at our store, and you know, very reasonable. It's all organic. This is an organic line. This is not a single winery. This is an essentially an import company going around and having individual wineries make the wine for them. That's okay. It's not, you know, criminal. It's actually perfectly fine. But this is a line of organic wines that is deliberately brought into the United States to introduce sort of varietal specific wines to Americans. This is their white wine in a can. And I was really suspicious, to be honest, even though I know the company. I was like, oh, well, what is it? It turns out it's 100% Grillo. Grillo is a wine. I believe we've tried this varietal on air before. It's a Sicilian grape that has a little bit of weight to it, kind of nice, fresh. If you're a fan of Pinot Grigios or Sauvignon Blancs or other nice, fresh, you know, white wines, this is killer. We're trying it right now. What do you guys think? Pretty decent.
This is wonderful. Yeah,
yeah, that was really good.
And it's, you know,
it's light and it's springy, and yet there's a little something else there.
Yeah,
character to it.
Well, and I think, you know, that's why. This is a grape, I think, actually, that's going to kind of explode in America a little bit more. It's just people, like, don't know how to pronounce it. Grillo, G-R-I-L-L-O. And as I said, it's from Sicily, predominantly. But, yeah, it does. It has, like, just a little bit of kind of weight and suppleness. Sometimes almost a little bit of, I know this is a sort of an odd thing to say, but almost a certain level of oiliness on the palate. It's really quite nice. And it goes, obviously, you know, being from an island in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, it goes fantastically with fish and things like that. So what does one think about? One thinks about buying a couple cans of this and hitting the coast and doing it upright. Maybe hit the Trenton Lobster Pound, something like that. And, I mean, it's just perfect. So some other things besides the Tiamo. Now, the Tiamo has this, and they have a Prosecco in a can. And I have not yet tried that, but I'm sure it's good because I've tried their Prosecco in a bottle, and I presume it's exactly the same thing. The other day, also, I just tried... as I said, every sales rep I have is coming in with examples of these things. So I tried an American Prosecco style the other day, as well as a red blend, which was actually quite decent. So that's coming as well. There's also another one called Archer Russe, which is going to be brought in. And this just goes to show you what a large, increasing segment this is. There's a distributor here in Maine called Craft Beer Guild, which handles, surprisingly enough, beer. They don't do wine. They do, but they have so many accounts who are like, listen, it would be really great if we could just get a wine from you as long as there's a good wine. And so they said, well, there's this really good line in a can. So they brought that in, and I tried that with their brand manager, and we both said, wow, these are pretty decent wines, and very exciting. A lot of them are from Chile, actually. And you're finding a lot of these wines in a can from places that make really good inexpensive wines already. And I think that's really the key, is the price point needs to be right. You can't be charging $20 a can for wine in a can. That's really where you're going to hit sort of this ceiling of where you can go with this. But nice fresh white wine, fresh red wines, Proseccos, things like that, it's just such a no-brainer. Other things you're going to see, and I was just talking with Rich about this before we came in, wine in a pouch. Capri Sun, I'm serious. It's out there. We it's not in stock right now, but it is coming back
with
With a straw. It comes with a straw attached. It's, I swear on earth, it looks like a Capri Sun pouch. Just, I mean, not the same coloring, thank goodness, but it's it's really remarkable. And you're gonna see, you know, cans the size of beer cans. You're gonna see cans that are half the size of beer cans. There's sake in cans now. It's early, folks. You're going to see where this goes. We're all going to see where this goes. I don't think it's going to end up being a huge segment of the wine sales, ratio, but it's kind of cool that it's out there. And certainly I'd love your feedback when you come into the store or call into the show or anything like that, or when you're voting for me in the next round of Downtown Madness. Feel free to leave comments. Hey, I was in your shop. Love the shop. Tried your canned wine. It was the worst thing I've ever had, best thing I've ever had, good packaging. But I really want to know, because I'm getting asked what people think as well. So as we're wrapping up for this segment, we are having our tasting on the 19th of this month from 5 to 7 p.m. in the store. Probably going to trot out these canned wines. I think they're pretty cool. So we'll probably have some of those, as well as some other great wines for spring, which is finally coming, I hope.
Oh, please. It's here. Out there today. It's right that spring.
I need a no snow guarantee. I need a no starting the snow blower guarantee.
I'm going to give you that.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you that on March 27th.
All right. Gary's shaking his head like you're daft.
I will come shovel your walkway if we get plowable snow.
Just start my snowblower for me. I don't even need that. I got a bad rotator cuff. All right, man. Well, cool. Hey, thanks everybody for listening and voting for me. Keep doing it. Thanks.
Eric May and Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the bottles. We wrap up hour one. Coming up, Colin Fleming, Dennis Price, and more. Second hour of Downtown. Very nice, Gary.
I like it.
For the victors right
Brian
there.
Brian May. So good.